Today's daf is Maseches Bava Kama Daf Kuf Yud. The new Mishnah on daf teaches the halacha of somebody who nebach steals from a convert. Person goes ahead, they steal from a person who's converted to Judaism, and then to add insult to injury, he goes to the court and he takes an oath. He takes a shvu. He says, "I never did it." He denies that he had stolen, and then, unfortunately, this convert dies, passes away from the world. The robber now he needs a kapara. He wants looking for atonement. He wants to do teshuva. So what does he do? He has to return the stolen item, or if he doesn't have the stolen item anymore, he returns the value of the stolen item plus, as we've seen and discussed, 1/5 penalty of whatever the value was. Add on top, so 1,000 would be 200, to the kohanim, to the priests, and bring a korban asham, which is a guilt offering, which is to atone for his false oath. Comes Abaye near the end of today's daf on Amud Beis and notes that the monetary payment affects half of the atonement, with the korban asham, that sacrifice, completing the atonement. For if the money were to be totally ineffective, it would turn out that the robber gave the money by mistake, and the coin who received it would have to return it to the heirs of the robber, because it would have been money that didn't actually have an effect. So Gemara parallels this by asking about the case of a woman whose husband passes away and they didn't have children. The classic case of the Torah is the case of Yibum. She falls into this Yibum marriage. Who is the Yibum marriage? It's with the brother-in-law. So now, in order for her to try to get married to somebody else, she has to first go to the brother-in-law and decide she's going to get married to him, or she's going to do a process called chalitza, dissolve that connection, and then she would be permitted to be married to whoever she would like. So in this case, she falls to the brother-in-law. The brother-in-law is a mukashrin. Mukashrin is a person who's filled with boils. It's very, not very attractive person. So it should be the halacha that she has no requirement here, not even to get out of the marriage, to do chalitza, because no woman would enter into a marriage with such an ugly person. So the Gemara answers, quoting Rish Lakish, that she would agree to it. After all, because of the concept of tav lemeitav tandu, lemeitav armelu, which means like this. Rashi explains here, means that she's willing to be married to her original husband, despite the risk that he has this ugly brother, she could potentially fall to marriage to him. So that's the approach of Rashi. If you look at the fact she's willing to go into the original marriage, even though there's a possibility that could lead. Well, the Maharam, in Shal's Tshuvos, Tavkuf Samechtad, he explains to Gemara, Tav Lemeitav, it's not going on the original husband. It's actually going on the second husband, meaning the brother-in-law that she falls to in the event that the first husband passes away without children. This is called the Yavam, the brother-in-law. That actually, says the Maharam, she's happy to be married to him, simply based on the fact of Tav Lemeitav. That logic that Reish Lakish is telling us is the logic. We've discussed it a few times before. Just the idea of being married. It's something that she would like to be married, not be alone, despite the defects, despite the drawbacks of being married to this person. Says the Maharam, however, based on this, had the Yavam, the brother-in-law, been a mumar, a Jew who's left Judaism altogether, say for another religion, then she would be exempt from chalitza. She'd be exempt from marriage. She'd be exempt from getting out of this marriage. She could just go and get married to whoever she wants, because she would not agree to be in a marriage in the first place that could pull her away from her religion. What about if it were to be her actual marriage, her husband, or the Kiddushin, where the husband leaves Judaism? Does the Kiddushin get retroactively uprooted? So Tzivas of Prank addressing this question, Shal Shuz Hartzvi, Evan Ezer, Tzadik Tes. And he adds, even post-Nisuin, even after the second stage of marriage, there would be room to consider the marriage. Nal Shal Da Zelo Kitcha Atzma. This is why she went into the marriage of the Virgin. Frank does question his own position, because it opens a can of worms, essentially, for any transaction. Quoting Tosos and Subos, if we consider every umdana, every circumstance, somebody sells an animal, somebody else, turns out the animal's treif. You can't turn around and say, I didn't buy this for it to be an unusual animal, unusable animal. So give the money back. As well, the Ramosha and Evin Ezer, Chelak Av Sim Kuf Samach Beis, explicitly rejects the suggestion that it be permission for her to dissolve the marriage, like the Hartzvi is saying. When you see a good, healthy marriage, it doesn't just take hard work. Of course, it takes hard work, but it takes, in addition to this, a great amount of Siyata D'Shemaya.